all those that are logging on and those that are here tonight. This is a Wednesday night that we have chose to make it into a question and answering night because I believe that there's a lot of people out there in the world wanting to know God, want to know the spiritual life, and is really about burned out with religion. And I can understand why, because I don't believe religion was the intent on God's plan for us to begin with. I believe religion has been birthed by man and the traditions of men, and not really the plan of God. The plan of God was just intentionally to have a relationship with us, not any type of religion. Now, I will say that one thing that was enlightened to me was God always sent a prophet in that type culture to identify who he is. And then man took that and turned it around and placed it into a religion. And that wasn't God's intent to begin with either. How many people understand what I just said? Okay. In your culture, let's say Asia, you have Buddhist. Okay, a prophet came to form Buddha religion, wasn't it? Okay, someone sent by God in that culture, and then they formed a religion. When it was just a prophet that was brought to bring a message of who God is and how to have a relationship with God. And basically, the condition of man. You had, in the Muslim world, you had who?
Muhammad.
And he was a prophet to bring the message to God, message from God to the people, and that turned into a religion. Now you got the Muslims. Then you have Jesus, who was identification, because some people get mad when you call Jesus a prophet. And Jesus is a prophet. He's a prophet sent by God. And he went as far as identifying God as a son of God. And we all are sons and daughters of the living God. How many people realize that we are all sons and daughters of the living God? There is a point where we are identified, the world is identified as your father is the father of lies, and you're not the son of God until you become divinely enlightened. But I don't truly believe that in my heart. I believe that we are fooled and adopted by the ways of the world to have the father of lies as our father. But that's not our true father. Our father is the creator who created us all. So if we take away ignorance, because truly that's what brings us into the world, ignorance. If we take away ignorance, then we're all children of God. So that makes us a son and a daughter of God, wouldn't you say so? Religion separates us from that truth. And it's a shame, because they actually got so far into religion that they said it was blaspheming if you said that you were a son or a daughter of God. When Jesus says that I am the Son of God, they were saying he was blaspheming God for some reason. I guess because he was putting them in that deity place, I guess. I don't know. This is something for those that are here to respond, which I have a scholar back there, which I'm very proud of. Well, with that being said, we live in a big world now. And how many of us would agree that this world that we live in is not as big as it was before? So a nation on the other side of the world is like our neighbor anymore. So I believe we're living in exciting times where now God's intent, and that's why I believe he touched my life the way he did to bring this message, to basically diminish or put away the traditions of man in the sense of religion. There is no religion in the eyes of God right now. The world is too, there's no need for Christianity, Muslim, Judaism, and even I'll go into the Asian culture of Buddhism, right? And we could go to India with the Hinduism, Hindi religion. There's no need for it anymore. There's no need for this separation anymore because we're so intermixed right now. So how would you explain that one right now, you see? And because we're so intermixed, and of course God knew that we were going to eventually be intermixed, that the only way to bring peace into the world is to take away the religion, because the religion is what's separating the peace. And you wouldn't think so, but let's be real. And it's taking away the peace. And we're still in cliques and in types of culture. We're still. Not here. You won't see it too much here. But you go into certain areas, you have ethnic groups still hanging out. How many people would agree on this one, right? How about you, ma'am? You over there in the black shirt. Yeah. How do you feel about the culture and the separation of culture? So you think language and food is still separating? Well, I believe God, with today's world and where we're living at right now, the age that we're living in, is demanding unity around the whole entire world. And my prayer is that the divisions amongst us just cease. Right now, the biggest thing that you hear about wherever you go is racism. And racism could be anything. It's not necessarily a colored thing. I look at religion as racism, to be honest with you. And I love all forms of life. I love it all. I love the Jews, I love the Asians, I love the Muslims, and I love the Christians and the Hindus. I love them all. I've had the pleasures of being around every one of them. And I guess some individuals might not see it as much as others. So, like, when I see your world, and I see, and I look at your world, and I'm going to pick on you tonight, Julie, because I want to. But I look at your world, and your world, if I had to make a judgment on it, is sort of my heart, in the sense of we all should just get along, and there shouldn't be any divisions amongst any of us. And have no issues or problems having relationships with anyone. Unfortunately, that's not true with everybody. Unfortunately, there's a lot of division throughout the world. And I feel it and I see it and I pick it up. And I know that it's that way in the religious sector, in that realm, with the Pentecostals and the Baptists and the Methodists and the, you know, just in the Christian sense. And the message that God is bringing out today is how to have a relationship with Him. And there's several individuals that I would love to have them come and hear this message. But it doesn't quite conform to their tradition based on Protestant or... Who's that one gentleman? What type of doctrine is he? The one with the sailboat. He is Pentecostal. Interesting. So, you know, there's others that I know of that wouldn't even come to this place only because of being conservative in one respect or another. Or just quite not opened to really hear at all. As an example, how I speak about Jesus and how I feel about Him. With my experience, I can boldly state that He is my brother and He is not a God. And when He said to me, go back and tell them about my Father, that tells you everything in a nutshell. And for me to say that He was a prophet of the Lord, I would have a lot of people come against me in the traditions of man. They would not agree with that. And that would be an argument. And I guess my point is, God desires unity, and He doesn't desire arguments or divisions. And there's just too much going on. You put the media on and it's just like flooding now. It's just rampant. It's going rampant. And I don't like to bring up any type of politics. I don't like to bring up any type of things. But you look at the movements around the world. Have you been watching the news lately? Not a news person. Don't really like to hear what's going on. And I don't blame you. A lot of people are that way. They just don't have the time or, you know, nor are they really even interested in it. But I look at the news as important in the sense of what's going on and how the world is being affected. And the world is being affected dramatically. A lot of hatred and a lot of division. And a lot has to do with arguments. And it's a shame. It breaks my heart in how we're evolving when we should be people of intelligence by now. I look at all these arguments and divisions and the traditions of men separating us as pure childish and ignorance. And we're now too advanced in knowledge, too advanced in technology, too mature to be acting this way around the world. Let's take one area, which is a very touchy area right now. And I really would like to hear from you how you feel about terrorists. blowing themselves up, bombing people, causing these things to happen around the world. How do you feel? Mm-hmm. Or you haven't really looked at it. And I don't think it's fair either. Look, you're going to find bad in everything. There's a lot of bad Christians. There's a lot of bad Muslims. There's a lot of bad Jews. There's a lot of bad Asians. But I'm talking about the rampage that is going on with the bombing and literally bringing the children up and having them exposed with bombs and blowing themselves up and coming over to, you know, Europe and bringing that over to other nations. And just recently in Orlando and some other areas just in the United States of causing these things to just happen. You have issues here. And I truly believe that God is just saying there's no need for it. And if you look at the reasons why they're doing it, it's based on religion. It's based on a religious belief. Whether it's two types of Muslims, you have the good Muslim belief, and then you have the radical Muslim belief. Still based on religion. Still based on religion. I want to share with the world that this needs to stop. It needs to stop in all around the world. It just needs to stop. And listen, I could be getting hated right now. People don't like these subjects. They don't like these types of discussions. They want to, that's over there. That's not with me. It doesn't bother me. What do I need to be bothered with it, you know? But there are issues. There are issues that need to be faced. And, you know, we want to be able to bring across to the world that this message, this ministry, is not a religious-based message, nor is it a religious-based ministry. It's a universal message for the world to put aside their childish ways, put aside the divisions amongst one another, not have any judgment between anyone. I don't want to judge anyone. And to be able to put ourselves in a position of understanding God and His love. And that we need to really come to a place of understanding that there is life after death. And to be really concerned about our personal condition, and if we are placed in that place of righteousness, and if we're purified, ready for the next world. Like if I had to be able to go around and ask people what they truly believe, I would say a lot of them aren't really concerned about afterlife. They're not really concerned about the condition of their heart and whether or not there's a judgment and it's going to place us in a place in the universe after life. If I would take some of us here today, what would your opinion be about life after death? Do you even believe if there's a life after death? Are we still searching? Are we still trying to figure that out? Are we like at a point of universally neutral where there is no heaven and there is no hell? You just kind of float around. Or you're sleeping forever. Where is your thoughts? Huh? Mm-hmm. That's a good point. I'd like to think that there's something after we leave or we die. And before my life was changed, I felt the way most people feel. Not even really concerned. Put ourselves in that position of maybe you're sleeping forever. Not even gave it too much thought. But after my experience and what I have experienced in that realm, I'm convinced, without a shadow of a doubt, because of my life being changed here on this earth and the condition of my life. And my wife knew how I was. I didn't have any children by then, but my wife knew how I was. I was very much, I guess you would say, worldly. But I don't even like to define it that way, because I didn't do anything wrong. I was a good person. I felt as though that I was kind and gentle and meek, and I did what I was supposed to do in the realm of my citizenship. I did everything right. In those areas, I was a hard worker, a business owner. But I had no relationship with God, and I had no salvation. And I had a tremendous amount of sin in my life, I guess you could call it. And I couldn't even, if you asked me if I had sin, I would be no. Because I, do all the good things. Anybody that's in need, I would give to them. I never stole. I did all the right things. But I look at myself as I was really in the world back then, after God changed my life. So how do you define the two? How do you know the difference between in the world and not in the world, in sin and not in sin, a divine nature and not having a divine nature? And I know now the difference. And how do you relay that to another individual who was like me before my life was changed, before I went into that supernatural place and the universal place? Coming back into my body, my whole entire spirit was changed. And I had the knowledge of sin and death. I had the knowledge of all that, and I know now. I thank God, because the condition that I was in before my life was changed, I wasn't going to that divine nature place. I wasn't going to what you want to call heaven. I was going to burn. Even being a good person, even doing all the good things, I had a lot of sin in my heart. I had a lot of sin in me that I didn't realize and I was living with, and it was causing me to be deceived and causing me to live a life that was not going to take me to an eternal life. That's sad. And I was thinking that I was okay. This is an interesting subject, isn't it? And now I'm starting to realize that there are many people out in the world that believe the same way I believed. And if we don't come to this relationship, and that's what it is, it's not a tradition, it's not a religion, it's a relationship. Because that's what saved me, the relationship with God. That's what saved me. And I want to bring this salvation to the world. And this is why I went off talking about the divisions and the racism, so to say, and the hatred and all this other stuff and the immaturity. And we're living in a realm, in a world now that we have a lot more knowledge. We shouldn't be acting this way. And just because we think we do the right things and all that other stuff is going to bring us to that spiritual place of bliss when we leave this earth, when we take us to heaven, so to say, or, you know, this wonderful place after life. And there's no perishing because we're good people. I don't want us to be deceived. How we're going to have a good afterlife is when we have a relationship with God. And we need to have that relationship with God. Now, how do you get that relationship? It takes more than 45 minutes to tell you how to have a relationship. It's a total transformation of your life. And I believe that's why this book called the Holy Bible, which is the book that I found is the closest to my transformation. I haven't read the Quran, but I would imagine that a lot in the Quran has to agree with what I'm saying too. Like I said, the prophets came to speak to the people about having a relationship with God, not a tradition of laws and do's and don'ts, rights and wrongs kind of thing. Even though that's what was transferred into. It's a shame. But, you know, there's a lot of things that man has told us to do when that's not really the desire in God's heart for salvation. It's all about salvation. It's all about obtaining life after death. This message and every message that I speak is to bring you to a place of eternal life. And not so that you look good in anybody's eyes, not that you have done the Ten Commandments or anything like that. It's not about how many times during the day you pray and at the hour of prayer or any of that stuff. It's all about relationship and to have and obtain an eternal life. And I want to encourage those that are listening to continue to log on so that I can lead you into that relationship. Like I said, it's not going to happen in 45 minutes. So you need to literally change the way you're completely thinking and really say to yourself, I don't know nothing. I don't know anything. And I need to cast down everything that I know so that I can know him the more. That's what Paul said. I count everything that I know as dung so that I would know him the more. That's an indication right there that it's about having a relationship. And who is our Father? Are we believing these lies? Are we believing this sin nature that we have been accustomed to only based on our ignorance? Before my life was changed, I was ignorant. I was doing all the right things, but I was possessed by a nature of the world, a worldly nature. And what is a worldly nature? You see, you have to ask yourself, what are these things and how do you define them? You have a question? Huh? You got a statement? Wonderful. Come on here. I have someone here that is going to share. His name's Jim. Jim Franklin. He's one who serves in this ministry, who I love deeply. He's a great man. I believe him. I trust him. I've seen God work in his life, so I'm just going to pass the mic over to Jim.
And as a young man, I traveled a lot around the world and interacted with people and different religions. And there are a lot of people that do think like us, but they're scared. The heads of those religions have them so brainwashed that they're scared to do anything. There are a lot of us out there. Now we just need to get them all together and get that fear out of them.
You mean they're afraid to speak out?
They're afraid to speak out because they're afraid of what's going to happen to them when they do.
Amen.
That's the whole thing.
You know what? We're going to interact on this because what Jim is saying is there's a lot of people out there that feel the same way we feel. And I thank God for that. And I believe him 100%. And this is maybe why we're having this discussion now, because I believe that there's somebody that's listening, maybe many pastors, many spiritual leaders, maybe individuals like us, who know that those things are not right and they want to make a change, but they're afraid of the consequence. They're afraid of maybe losing their church. If there's a pastor out there that is afraid to lose their church because of the truth, would you rather lose the church or lose your eternal life? What would you rather leave? What would you rather lose?
I'd rather lose the church. I want to keep the eternal life. Yeah. But you have people there, especially like with the terrorists. They brainwash these kids because these kids are scared. They're completely scared, so they'll do anything you tell them. And you have people here, Europe, everywhere, with doing the same thing. But what I've also learned in my travels, all the religions basically are the same.
Yep.
But the problem is the people that head those religions. They're brainwashing the public. And there's so many of them out there that do want to believe like we do, but they're so scared that something's going to happen to them, especially if they come out. And in a lot of countries, that is true. You know, you go against their religion, they're going to come after you. So, you know, basically, you want to, if you do believe in the way we do, but you have to hide it, there's really nothing wrong with that.
Right.
You know, if you have to hide it, you hide it. You know, I'd rather see you hide it than get beheaded or shot or anything.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but at least let somebody know that you're with them.
Yeah.
Because we will be with you anywhere you go. And that's, you know, that's what we are.
Amen.
Yeah, we're not a religion. We don't try to be. But we do believe in a higher power.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we want to get out to everybody.
Mm-hmm.
It's out there.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Let's give the Lord a hand of praise for Jim. You know, one of the things that he mentioned is that they're afraid. And I agree with what he's saying. They are afraid. We're going to take it to levels. There are individuals that are listening right now that are in other countries that have found us, and they embrace this truth. Yes, start an underground cell group. Don't go shouting out all over the place that this is what you are and this is what you're doing. But to start a cell group, evangelize a cell group so that many of you can come and listen to these messages and embrace this relationship so that you will work out your own salvation and that you'll have eternal life. And like Jim said, don't put yourself in danger, but to embrace it and go underground. With that being said, I want to speak to those who have organizations, pastors. I want to address the pastors. And I want to address the pastors that are have a responsibility for the people. And you might even make a living off of, you know, what you're doing. And I completely understand. I left everything to serve our Creator, the God of the universe. And He'll provide our need. And I want you to understand that. He'll provide your need. So don't have fear of man who can't save your life, but have fear of God who can. And begin to start bringing into the truth into your organization and your congregation. Start bringing in the truth, because I truly believe that you carry the blood on all of them on your hands. And you might be working out your own salvation, but because you're not bringing this truth in that you know, you're carrying a lot of blood, so you're going to be accounted for them as individuals. And so all that, all your righteousness that you did is worth nothing. I believe our righteousness is speaking the word directly from our heart. And so don't be afraid of losing your congregation or your church or what have you, because God will bless it and He'll rebuild it. He'll either bring those people alongside or He'll remove them and bring new people alongside. But don't be afraid of that. There's another thing that I've noticed, and I've been seeing it's becoming more and more popular, where there was an ancient term that we used because we were trying to identify ourselves, and we were coming up with the name Gnostic. And that's what we are, Gnostic, right? And just the other day, I heard a gentleman speak of his Gnostic religion or his Gnostic tradition. And I was so excited to hear that, because this is a public figure speaking nationally, and he's not like an older gentleman, he's a younger gentleman. And whether he tuned into our website and heard it, or somehow or another he understood that the kingdom of God is within, and the relationship in God is all within, and the life is within, that's the basis of a Gnostic person, correct? If I'm, yeah, it's all within. Huh? Am I correct in that? Divine knowledge from within. Yeah, so everything is within. And I was just so excited to hear that come out now. And so that's building a lot of hope inside of me. And I'm open to those that are listening, if they would like to support us and embrace what we're bringing out. I truly believe that this is a rhema word for the world that we're living in today, to destroy the anger, to take away the hatred, to take away and bring unity to amongst brothers and sisters, amongst people in the world. This message about having a relationship with God and working out our own salvation and not bringing judgment on anyone, and believing that the life that we're living inside, and everything is okay. I believe the world is crying out for this message. I believe the world is crying out for this, because it doesn't bring judgment on one another. If you want to be, you know, transsexual or whatever, you know, and that relationship that is built with God, you know, God works things out in that individual. And God will lead that person's life to where eternal realm will lead. It's not for us to judge whether you think it's good, bad, right, or wrong. A Gnostic individual is one who believes that there is no right, no wrong, no good, no bad. The only thing that they believe is what's inside of them. And they live with what's inside of them, not judging what is outside of them. For example, you have a life, I have a life. What you do with your life is your responsibility. What I do with my life is my responsibility. It's not for me to judge on how you should live your life. I'm happy with the way you live your life. Be happy with the way I live my life. And know that we do have something in common, a relationship with our Creator. This is the message that I want to bring out to the world. It's a universal message if you really think about it. God doesn't want any divisions amongst us. You know, there are people right now that are judging this message and they have no clue. They're crashing it and knocking it down. They have no clue how wonderful this will change the world. How this message will change the way we live amongst one another. And you can be who you want to be. You can do what you want to do. And it's okay. Isn't that what the world is crying out for? Isn't that what they want? But they don't know how to go about doing it. There is no group or organization that is bringing this in a common place that they can be built on. There's nothing. I haven't seen anything. Has anyone ever seen anything like this before? Mm-mm. And so, those that are listening, and I truly believe that there are individuals out there that are listening, that want to bring across exactly what we're trying to bring across. But they don't want to share the message. They don't know how to go about sharing the message. Sort of like what the whole world wants, but they don't know how to bring it across. How do we get everybody to submit under this truth? How do we get everybody to join this group? It has to be publicized. Publicized? It has to be brought national. It has to be supported. It has to be supported. And so I'm asking those that may be listening, might be in a position to support, might be in this position to say, you know what, I can financially support you and we can advertise and we can bring this all to pass, and here is a place that we want to establish. Here's the center so that you can have meetings and let it go worldwide and people can fly from all over the place and they can come as a resort. I'm going to begin to prophesy the vision that was given to me and speak and declare those that are listening and would like to support and make a change in the world to bring this Gnostic belief, this worldwide movement, bring it. And I'm willing to devote my whole entire life to bring this message and train, equip all of us around the world in how to have a relationship with God and destroy the hatred and the division amongst all of us. And put away the childish thinking and the childish ways. And I say that they're childish because they're acting like children, if you really look at it. Why should I hate you? Why? Why should I judge you? I used to say from the very beginning, if I cut you, we're all going to bleed red. I don't care where you're from. I don't care who you are. We're all going to bleed red. And you know, that's the same thing with our spirit. Our spirit is all going to go to an eternal place. I don't care where you are, where you're from, who you are, what nationality, it doesn't matter. All of our spirits are all going to go to an eternal place. And I want our eternal life to go to that place with our Creator. I don't want to see any of us perish. And there is a consequence of perish. I don't talk about it much, but there is a place where we perish. It's, if I could describe it, it's like being so far away and distance from the one you love the most. From a place who you love. Picture someone that you love. I don't care if it's your favorite pet animal, pet whatever, or favorite boyfriend, girlfriend, husband. How much do you love them? Picture yourself far away from them. That's how it feels. Can't live with yourself, could you? That's not, I know. You wouldn't know what to do. He makes up your life. And that's the same thing with what I'm trying to say here. He makes up our life. And without him, we have no life. We can't live without him. Someone asked me about the difference between the two worlds. I said, this world here is dead. There is no life here. There is no life here in this world. It's dead. But the eternal world, there's a lot of life. There's an everlasting life. And this is where I want to bring us all in. See, my problem, and I have a problem, I lived a dead life. And I experienced the dead life. And I saw the dead life in how to be a good person. But it was dead. And now I have a life. It's alive. And it's living. And it's righteous. And it's eternal. And I'm living in an eternal life now. And it's not of this world. It's an eternal life. And we can have that life now. Right now. We can have that life. Whatever you're experiencing now, you can say it's eternal. But is it life? I bet you your eternal life is death right now. You see? I don't want to live that life. I don't want you to live that life. There's no reason for you to live that life. We have the power to change. It's been given us to know the mysteries. We have the power to change. And we need to come to a place of change. And one of the things is we have to change the way we're thinking. Our thoughts have to change. They have taken us to a point where they have created identity. They have created a person. They already have created a life. And we're living a life in a lie. And we need to cast these lies down so that we can be set free. It's not my war, it's your war. It's not my battle, it's your battle. I can only bring you to that place, but I can't fight the battle for you. And I hope the world hears me because I'm tired of seeing the world suffer. I'm tired of seeing all the disunity amongst us and the hatred and the divisions and all these other things, the anger within ourselves and manifesting outwardly. And so I hope I answered some of the questions that were given to me earlier. about religion and who we are because we're not religious. Some people ask us, what would you call yourself? What kind of denomination are you? Are you Christian? You speak out of the Christian Bible. Are you Christian? You talk about Jesus. Are you Christian? You must be Christian. You know, I'm not Christian. I guess I'm not Christian. Whatever you want to think. I'm Gnostic. We're Gnostic. It's a world movement. You just haven't seen it yet. The whole world is moving in this, and they don't even know it. The whole world wants this, and they need somebody to bring it together. I'm here to bring it together and start the movement. I'm here to bring it together and start the movement so you don't have to call yourself a Christian, even though we believe in Jesus and we believe in the Bible and we believe in these things, but we're not Christian. How's that? We're not Jew either, because I believe in everything in the Judaism. I believe in the Quran. I believe in all the religions there are. It's like you eat the meat and you spit out the bones. Well, the parts that I don't agree with is the traditions of men. I believe in the oneness and the unity of God and the love of God. I believe in the unity of people and the love of people. You see? And if you look in every religion, that's kind of the basis, you know, having a relationship with God, having the unity of men, you know, loving your brother as yourself. I mean, let's get real. See, I truly believe that the whole world is desiring for this. They just don't have anyone to gather them around, bring them together, and put a name on it. So what you have is you have all these sheep running all over the place going, bah, bah, and they're running all over the place crying out, wanting this, but doesn't have anyone to gather them around. They don't have a shepherd to gather them around. Well, I'm telling you, I'm the end time shepherd. And I want to gather them all around, worldwide, and start the movement. And if there are heavy investors listening, let's talk. Let's set the, what do you call that, center point where everyone begins to meet. You have to have a headquarters. And then we'll branch off from there. And we'll start many groups all over the world for the ones that can't fly out and get this teaching. We have good rooted foundations here, 5 or 6 good rooted foundations, probably even more than that, who can probably withstand a location. But I say now, I'm boldly speaking now, those investors out there that see what I see, I say, let's get together. Let's begin. Everyone is crying for this. The whole world is longing. Wouldn't you agree? I see one over there shaking her head. Yes, yes, the whole world. And what are they missing? They're missing the shepherd to bring them all together. Yep. And it just dawned on me. I got epiphany that I believe I'm the shepherd to bring all the sheep together around the world. The end time shepherd. And I believe that there are many other ones like me out there, but we just haven't, like Jim said, they're afraid to come out. They're afraid of the persecution, but I'm going to tell them, Don't be afraid. Yes, in those areas where they're going to, you know, and yes, be afraid. Protect yourself. But at the same time, God is calling. So if those are there that are beginning to understand the Gnostic religion, the Gnostic call, the Gnostic lifestyle, it was too much for me. I didn't really quite understand it until I began to embrace it. I guess I needed some secular individuals to say that to me and begin to realize, wow, maybe that's what it is. And everybody needs a name. What are you? So I hope I answered those questions that have been questioning. What are you? And today you have a good understanding of who we are. It's a movement. The world is crying out for this. It's a movement. But they're scattered all over the place. They're all over the place. And they don't know what to do. And now we're giving them the opportunity to gather them around. Come, come. Those that are thirsty and hungry, come. Those that are weary and heavy laden, come. The Spirit and the bride says, come. If I remember correctly, at the end of that book called the Holy Bible, at the very end in the book of Revelations, there's a call for this movement. There's actually a call for this movement. And it said, the Spirit and the bride says, come. There's a call. And that's why I believe we are living an age now of movement. How many are ready for this movement and ready to embrace this movement? Amen. Let's go for it. Those that are out there listening and want to support this, you can have get on our website and contact us. It's glorytothenations.org. You can contact us, and I'd be more than happy to sit down with you. Start the movement. Amen. If we can have every head bowed for a moment. Father, I thank you, Lord, for what is about to take place. I remember when my life was touched, the words that were spoken was, wow, God's going to use you in a mighty way. I never could understand what that meant. But in everything, there's a beginning. And this is a new beginning. This is a new beginning. And who would have ever thought, out of Marlton, New Jersey, and who would have ever thought bringing individuals like yourself alongside? I'm sure the 12 never thought they were chosen when Jesus said, put down your nets and follow me. I'm sure the mother Mary never could even imagine that she birthed someone who was going to change the world. I'm sure those that stood beside him never thought that they were going to be mentioned 2,000 years later. Who knows? Maybe you listening right now might be one of those that they talk about 2,000 years later. Father, I thank you, Lord, for your message, for your word. And Lord, I ask that you bring us into this revelation of oneness with you, an intimate relationship. And Lord, allow us to really understand eternal life. so that we live a life without sin, so that we live a life with you. And not just being a good person, Lord, because just being a good person isn't going to get us to that place. I know I was once one of those good persons, but I didn't realize who I was. And now I know who I am. Lord, let this revelation fall on those that are listening. And let their hearts cry out. Let them not be one who stands before you and says, "But Lord, Lord, I did all these things in your name," and find out that they were fooled. And you say, "Get away from me, you worker of iniquity, I never knew you." Instill in them your holiness, and let them see your grace and your mercy. I pray, amen and amen. Let's give the Lord a hand of praise. And I have some prayer calls up here. And, you know, for some reason today, I've been seeing a lot of the silver falling. And I've seen silver falling on Mary Lou. And I've seen silver falling on you, Dennis. So, yeah, isn't that awesome? Yep. So God is sending forth his angels, and silver's falling. And I'm very happy when I see that. So he's touching you in a special way. And if you haven't seen silver on you, ask the Lord to send his angel over and touch you, because the angel's here. You know, just say, "Angel, come on over and do what you have with me. I want you to touch me like you're touching everybody else." You know, this angel came here. He's in this realm right now. I just saw it just flash right above your head, Dennis. So whatever's happening, I praise God. And so, you know, this angel's in this realm. You know, he's here. We'll embrace it. Thank you, Lord. And pour out your glory. Amen? Amen. Amen.
You know, I feel in my heart.